Hi, it's Paul Davis with GreatDad.com, and I am talking again today with another dad, and I'm excited to have Evan Putnam on with me today. And this is kind of going to be a different show because we're going to be talking maybe a little bit about fatherhood, but also about something that maybe would interest fathers, which is getting into podcasting. So welcome, Evan.
Oh, thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Grateful to be here and grateful to serve your community.
Thank you. Well, you're in Charleston, South Carolina, or outside of Charleston. I'm in San Francisco, so we're three hours apart, but it sounds like we got a lot in common. You're a father of a 12-year-old girl. You got grandchildren already from another marriage, and so you've got a lot of dad energy going on. And yep. Maybe we should talk about that first, is that you said that you've been an entrepreneur for a while, but like probably like me and like a lot of people, entrepreneurship wasn't as easy as you thought it would be. That it, you know, is it's if it's you learn a lot along the way, but you make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. But tell me your personal story about how you from entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm happy to. And it's actually been 20 plus years. It was funny. I was on a podcast and somebody asked me a question and got me reflecting on it. And I'm like, wow, it's been like 20 plus years back before there was Zoom, Facebook, YouTube, you know, back in I guess it's like the prehistoric times. I don't even know. I think we still were doing dial up back then. Right. But moving forward from there, you know, what I didn't learn before I had my daughter was how to shut it down, right? How to disconnect, how to leave the work behind. And I'm sure like fathers listening to this, maybe they're not an entrepreneur, even just working, you know, a corporate job or whatever else, it's tough sometimes to leave that at home or leave that out of the home. And, you know, I was actually in a job as an entrepreneur. We were talking a little bit about this before the podcast. I was in the business that we built that we ended up selling. I was actually leaving that anyway, because even though it was highly successful, I was very unfulfilled in the process because I didn't feel like I was doing what I was called to do here. And I was bringing a lot of that home. I was bringing a lot of that anger home, the stress home. My daughter was really young then. And I remember I spent some time, and we'll fast forward and get to some of the other stuff, but just real quick, when I left that position, that business that we had built, myself and my partner, instead of jumping right into something else, I was like, you know what? I remember what it was like when I knew I was going to have a daughter. And I told myself, I'm not going to be my father.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Didn't have a great relationship with him. Yeah. That's a long story there. But I felt like there were parts of me that were reflecting that still. So I spent some time alone, just focusing on myself, sitting in the morning, meditating, journaling, trying to find ways to quit being so reactionary. Trying to ask myself questions like, why do I get angry so easily? Why do I seem to yell? Right. And so I went through a lot of this. And for the fathers listening out there, though, I'm sure this will really hit home with them. But I remember coming in one time, just walking in the door. I don't remember if I might have been leaving my home office, whatever it was. My daughter was like, I don't know, maybe six or seven at the time. And she looks at me and she's just, out of the blue, just says, you know what, Daddy, do you know why I like you? I was like, why is that? She's like, you don't really yell anymore.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, this has all been worth it. It didn't feel like things were changing as much, but it was all. And then ever since then, I've really focused on how can I be an entrepreneur and not work 24/7 and be fully present with my family when it's time to be fully present with them. And I actually write this down every day to remind myself, right? That I'll write in a little journal, I'll say, you know, thank you, Evans, for being fully present with Chloe and Stacy. That's my wife. So, I mean, you have to work on it, right? As an entrepreneur, just as a dad, I think you have to work on it, whether you're in entrepreneurship or, you know, doing a regular 9-to-5 or corporate job.
Well, thank you a lot for sharing that just to start up, because that's kind of the whole message behind what we do, is really trying to help guys see how valuable that is. It's never too late to start to reinvent those relationships and I appreciate you telling that story. So when you talk about entrepreneurship, it's very similar to a corporate job, is trying to create those boundaries. Do you think entrepreneurship still holds an opportunity for men to, you know, to create their own destiny and be their own boss and then still have time? Because I mean, the old paradigm was, you know, you get a franchise, like a Pizza Hut franchise, and you work, you know, 16 hours a day, you barely make it. Yeah, you're your own boss. But, you know, at least when I was growing up, entrepreneurship always sounded like really a hard, hard slog. You think that's changed now with the internet and all the other opportunities?
I think, you know, I'd hate to say, I don't want people to think that there's an easy button, because there's not an easy button.
Thank you.
But I do think, and this is something, I wish I had the book in front of me, but there's a really amazing father who's got multiple kids, foster kids. His name's Richie Norton. He's an entrepreneur. He wrote this book called Anti-Time Management. And I would recommend that book for anybody, even if you're not an entrepreneur, but it talks about how you can build your life the way you want to, right? That you just have to be intentional. A lot of the things we've been taught that we've learned over time were not created in a way to help us separate, you know, work from family life. It was more like work, 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 and then you'll find some time to enjoy time with your family. And his book is really about, hey, if family is your castle, then you build the business as the moat around the castle. You don't make the business the castle. And I thought that concept was really powerful. So for men, and I actually work with a lot of, in the podcast space, because we talked about this, as a coach, who I coach a lot of people with big positive messages and missions, people that feel like they're called to a unique purpose, that they have something that, you know, maybe they're a little bit older and they've worked a lot in a regular corporate job. And now they're like, hey, I feel like the same as I felt, right? I'm successful, but unfulfilled. Right. And I have this calling. And a lot of them come and they get their start in podcasting as a guest a lot of times, just to get out there and spread their message. Then a lot of times they start their own podcast, they start their own business. And it can be consuming if you aren't intentional about setting those boundaries and figuring it out. And I always tell people, it's like, I'm not the guru on how to do that, but find a coach that can help you with these kind of things so that you can have the best of both worlds. Because, you know, I will say that one of my best gifts is being an entrepreneurship. I think about this all the time, as my wife was working and I was working. She was managing a really nice restaurant here in town. So we were crossing a lot, you know, passing ships because of the different hours. And I always tell people, it's like she was pulling the heavy duty, right? She was coming in late, getting up early so I could get to work. But the big benefit for me as an entrepreneur was that I got to spend time with my daughter, you know, all the time. Like, I got to be a dad, which, you know, my father previously, because of the, I guess, the era that he grew up in, that part wasn't there, right? And not that he may not have enjoyed it, but he was just working. That's all he did was work, 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 come home, you know, read the paper, have a meal, go to bed, get up and work.
Yeah.
So that's the big benefit. If you can find a way, I think the reward is worth it, right? Maybe it's, you may be up here doing really, really well in your corporate job, success-wise, money-wise, whatever. And you may have to, you know, your status money-wise and everything might have to go down a little bit as you step into this new thing. But the rewards can be so powerful. But you just have to learn to be intentional. And I would find somebody to help you sort of do that. Actually, I had a parenting coach who's a podcaster. And at one time, she was one of my clients. And I just asked her, I'm like, can we talk sometime? Just because I wanted to get some advice from her on how she separates the two. And she gave me just like two or three tips that I was like, oh my gosh, these are so simple, but they're so powerful.
Yeah.
Right. So definitely, you know, I bet
one of those tips is to be more intentional, because if you step out of your corporate job and now you're at home all the time, yeah, you get to go to every piano recital, every soccer practice, everything else. But if you're not truly present during that time, you might as well have been gone for hours and back. Yeah. You were gonna say you had some of the tips out of there?
I was just gonna say, yeah, like one of those tips I got that really was powerful was to give yourself sort of a little, because I do work from the home, and that can be hard enough anyways, getting everybody else to respect your boundaries. But I try to, at the end of the day, I stop my schedule and give myself a little bit of a little barrier before I step into, like, you know, dad, husband time, right? So give yourself 15 to 30 minutes there just to sort of let the work fade away a little bit, because if you go straight from one to the next, you're going to pull all that with you.
That's a good point, because back pre-COVID, we were all, for non-entrepreneurs, we were all driving to and from work. So you'd have that decompression time, 20 minutes, sometimes an hour in here in California, decompression time. So by the time you walked in the door, hopefully you weren't filled with road rage, you were ready to embrace your wife and see your kids.
That's a good point. I never really have thought of that, but yeah, you don't have that time to wind down unless you give it to you. Cause I mean, I'm literally just one door. I open that door and I'm into the main part of the house. Right. So it's important to do that for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what you've got a lot of experience in is podcasting and not necessarily making $1 billion out of podcasting, but what does it, is it a good time for, like, a dad, whether he's focusing on fatherhood or not, to start a podcast? I mean, I know they're
absolutely
long with
this. Yeah. I think it is, absolutely. And you can do really well with it as a way to make money, right? As long as if you're thinking about starting a new career, you're starting a new business as an entrepreneur, I believe with all the noise and distraction that, you know, a lot of people say attention is the new oil, but the problem is, as an entrepreneur, most entrepreneurs are out fighting to get attention and they forget about holding it. But the great thing about a podcast is if you want to come share your message, you want to document your journey or whatever you want to do as an entrepreneur, you're going to end up holding attention. So the attention is so much more powerful between you and the listener, and it builds such a strong know, like, and trust as well. And there's a lot of other benefits too. I mean, the demographics show that the podcast listeners are higher earners. So, right, if you're going to run a business, you want to be speaking to the people that can afford your services. Those are podcast listeners, and they listen to your episodes. Generally, the listen rate is like 80-something% of episodes. So they're listening. They're not on YouTube watching a video, getting distracted by something else, like moving. They can listen to it when they're, you know, out on a walk, on a jog, right, in the car, on the way into work, whatever that is. So you have a captive audience, which you don't have in a lot of other platforms. So for myself, I think podcasting definitely, as an entrepreneur, is one of the absolute best ways. And it just comes from the experience of us having a real estate podcast, right, where my client was actually we started as clients, then we became partners. And he was actually in the real estate business, very, very successful, left that and just wanted to continue, but he wanted to share what he had learned, how he was successful. And you'll like this too, because the reason, I think this is one of the reasons I connected with him too, is because he had a deeper purpose. And when he was in real estate, he was working like 60, 70 hours a week, and he was hardly making a living. And he had a wife, he had two daughters at home. So he decided, I've got to start being a dad. I got to be at home. Right. So he focused on that. He was able to shorten his work week to like 3.5 days and ended up selling $1 billion worth of real estate.
Wow.
So he wanted to bring that to the real estate space and be able to share this with other, you know, whether you were a mom or a dad, how you could be there for your family and not work as much. Right. So for us, that was the message behind the podcast. It was how to be successful and not, like, work yourself to death and still be a good father, a good mom, right? So he shifted from that, from the corporate world, and then started doing that. And we started doing our own sales training through the podcast. So we sold courses and coaching. So you don't have to, a lot of people, I think of podcasts, they think the only way to make money is by, like, you know, the old traditional way, advertising or sponsorships. But what I reflect to my clients, I'm like, look, if you're an entrepreneur, this is your show. You should sponsor yourself, right?
Right.
Talk about, you know, your expertise, build the know, like, and trust, build an audience that starts to really, you know, they're there, they're dedicated, they're there every week listening. And you don't need to be pushy salesy, because we discovered that too. We did a lot of the wrong things on the way to success, but you don't have to do that. You don't need to be pushy or salesy. You just need to take them to the next step, right? Like, get them from your podcast, get them on your email list, start building the relationship, continuing the relationship, and then give them an opportunity to send you buying signals that they're ready to buy something, or you let them know that you've got something. But it doesn't have to be. We were never pushy. We were never salesy. And that's when we started actually making money. And that's when we started having people coming up to us in person when we go to these events and things, and just tell us how much they loved what we were doing, and how much the podcast helped them, how they were growing their business because of it and because of the stuff that we were able to provide for them. And they were telling everybody about it. So you get great referrals too. So for me, it's really, it's a great way to connect, because people will come up to you in person. They would come up to the host, Pat, talk to him as if they had known him for 25 years. They were best friends. And he'd look at me. He's like, was that person on the podcast?
I've had,
no, they're just a listener.
You really do. If you listen to a podcast every day or every week, you start to feel like, wow, that person is my friend. You know, they have no idea who you are. So I want to talk about the niches that you think that are really viable. Mm-hmm. But first, how do you develop that relationship? How do you develop compelling content? I mean, I think you and I are having a good conversation. I do this at least once a week, if not more. I get a total buzz out of it. I always learn a lot of new things, but I don't know if a lot of dads really want to listen to a half an hour conversation about fatherhood. They may be more interested today because, you know, we're talking about nuts and bolts podcasting. So if you're a dad, you're interested in podcasting, this would be a show you might tune into. But is it like humor, or is it strong personality? Is it clickbait stuff? What would you think is the magic to get people?
I think it's authenticity is one of the biggest ones, right? And that was, you know, in our podcast, it was designed for real estate agents to be able to learn from some of the best in the business, and also to be able to take that knowledge and do something with it.
Yeah.
Right. So being able to transfer what you learned and actually go and do. So there was the authenticity and the value. And here's one of the biggest, and this is what, whether you're doing solo podcasts or interviews, both of those things are important, but also storytelling was huge. When we went back and looked at the numbers of our podcasts, we had some really big names on there, like people like Robert Kiyosaki.
Oh yeah.
Barbara Kilcoran, people who were really big in the, you know, the real estate space. But it was the regular, we'll just call them the regular average person, who had an intriguing story, right? It's like, what do we like? We love underdog stories, right? We love stories of like going from down, like up here to down here and back up here again, right? Things like this, but just things that people can relate to, because people aren't looking for, when it comes to what I've discovered, when it comes to as an entrepreneur to your podcast. Now there's entertainment shows out there like Joe Rogan and things like that. Those are entertainment. But as an entrepreneur creating a podcast, you want to connect with your audience, and you truly do that through stories. You do that through being authentic. You do that by actually giving them value. Like Pat used to have a saying that was like, you know, get to the meat and potatoes, Paul, right? We're not going to talk fluff here. Get to the meat and potatoes. I want to know 1, 2, 3, 4. What are the 4 steps for going from point A to point Z? And that was really powerful, because people appreciated that. So I think, you know, just be you. You don't have to. We would tell people all the time, much like you and I discussed, it's like, we don't edit. We're not worried about this being the fanciest, most overproduced podcast. People want it to feel like it's a conversation between themselves and a friend.
Yeah.
And if you can speak to people in a way that you're speaking to them as like you, if you think of them as, you know, sitting across the coffee shop, coffee table from you, and you're just having a discussion with them, whether that's the conversation you're having in an interview or doing a solo episode, Yeah. And I know that for the men listening to this that may be thinking about transitioning from corporate to the next step, you have so much expertise. A lot of times you think that it comes easy to you, so you think it's not important to others. But what comes easy to you doesn't come easy to somebody else. So you have so much to share, your life story, your story of how you accomplished whatever you accomplished in your business, what made you feel called to start a podcast and be an entrepreneur. These are the kind of things people want to hear because they hear themselves in the stories that you share with them.
So, well, selfishly, I mean, I'm doing this podcast mostly out of love of these conversations and the overall message, my why, is to really help men to be more intentional and more present. But I guess I struggle with this. Do you have any like top of the head ideas of how to make my podcast more compelling or more intriguing to people to join in? Because I'm not selling anything. I'm selling my coaching practice and those programs. But the thing that I think is hard for a lot of people who are in more of this general space is we're not selling. We don't have an ROI on our you know the thing that we're offering. We're not telling people you can make $1 million. You can increase your salary by 50% or whatever. All those kind of promises that are really motivating to a lot of people in America. Mm-hmm. Versus the softer side, which is improving your relationships, developing good children, all those kind of things,
which are actually more valuable.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Then that's what we used to say all the time. Like we had a movement called Big Profit Agents, where we're like, we don't measure profit in dollars. We measure it in the freedom you have to spend with your family, with your friends, things like that. So, but back to your question, one thing that that you do really well with this show is that while you still do, it is a little general, but you have a theme, right? So I think that's really important. If you're not so niched down I actually had a discussion with somebody the other day about this, where he felt the disconnect between his podcast and what he was doing as an entrepreneur, what he was becoming known for. And I told him, I was like, well, what you're known for is, being this goal person, right? Like you help people create big, huge goals and get them, right? Get things done. I was like, you could shift what you're talking about over here and sort of lead with some questions around the goal, right? Like the same thing that you often do, Paul, that I listen to one of your other podcasts too with someone. It's like, you're asking me, how can you be an entrepreneurial father? It's still around fatherhood, but it's going in a different direction. So I think as long as you stay on topic and don't confuse your listeners, that's a great way to do it. And oftentimes too, you can have a set of questions that you can ask. Now, I don't think it's a good idea to script. I've been on shows before where it's like, here's the five questions ask, and that's all they do. I think it's okay to have like three or four that sort of lead towards the end, towards where you're wanting to take your listeners on the next step, that you could ask. Like I talked to this podcaster and I was like, well, why don't you sort of wrap up your show the last like 5-6 minutes talking about goals, right? To just sort of lead it back there. And then when it comes to the end of the show, hey, by the way, if you'd like to learn more about goals, like we discussed it with, Paul in our podcast today and how he was able to do blah, 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 I've got this free guide that helps you do this. This is how you go get it.
Yeah.
So it's just a subtle way of leading the conversation without maybe without making it feel like it's cookie cutter. You don't want it to feel cookie cutter. You want it to be organic.
You don't want to make it feel salesy. I love your t-shirt that says Surpreneur, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But the fact that I'm not trying to sell anybody on my coaching program just to sell things. Most of what I do, I'm not making a lot of money out of it, but I want to help people get to that next level. And hopefully some of those messages that maybe do sound like go to this URL or whatever, they're not necessarily to sell you. It's to provide you with a resource that maybe would be valuable to you. So back to the question of the follow-up question is, are there niches that you think are still like, there's not enough people in them, or are really would be great if somebody, if it meshes with what their purpose is or what their expertise is?
Yeah, I think, a lot of people worry about over competition or too much competition. And one, I like to think it, the great thing about podcasting is if you are authentic and you're focused on your unique ability and your unique voice and your unique talents and your unique expertise that you've brought, then you won't have competition. So to answer that question, I don't really think that there is any overcrowded spaces. Mm-hmm. And we would share this with our people all the time, because I work with a lot of coaches, and especially I was a partner with somebody before doing some sort of collaborations, because I truly believe in collaboration and serving and working together. And a lot of the people that she brought into our world were life coaches, spiritual coaches. And there's so many of, I mean, coaching is a huge, you know, niche, and there's a lot of coaches out there. But we would tell them all the time, if you just become your own self and bring your unique talents, your unique way of doing things, then you don't have to worry about anybody else. You will attract the right people. And I think that's the great thing about podcasting too, is that you can repel the wrong people without being rude about it, right? You're talking about things that connect with you.
Right.
The right people are going to swim towards you, and the wrong ones are just going to sort of stay away. So it's okay, right? And you don't really need, and the great thing about the entrepreneurial space is too, is that you really don't need, you don't have to have, you know, 100 million people that are listening to your show.
Yeah.
What is it, the 100 true fans or 1,000 true fans? I can't remember the number, but if you create a loyal, dedicated, small following that become your evangelists that you serve, that refer people to you, that's really a great way to go. And you don't have to be salesy. I mean, we were in real estate sales training in that podcast business, right? But we weren't making any money when we were being salesy. So we stopped doing that, and we focused on just continuing to give value, continuing to serve, continue to build relationships. And when we cut that out, we basically went from almost shutting the doors. We were about 2 weeks away from closing things down to go into $500,000 in 12 months from not selling. I call it the magic selling without selling formula, right? So I was actually brought on a sales podcast for sales professionals.
Right.
And they asked me this question: how did you make that first $500,000? I was like, well, we stopped selling.
Yeah.
And the guy sort of looked at me like, I don't know where we can take this from now. Right. But as you mentioned, it's more about serving and giving. Your podcast should be about serving, giving, and transforming. It's more about shifting beliefs than it is about trying to sell anything to anyone, because if they don't believe they can do the thing that you offer, then it's not going to do them any good anyway. So the shifting of the beliefs happens in the conversations, in the podcast, so that it creates that transformation. So it helps them be who they need to be to do the thing they wish to do. And the thing that they wish to do is the thing that you offer and help them with.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good advice. I think men are maybe more wired to look at something and say, you know, I don't want to share. I don't want to talk to this guy because he's kind of a competitor, but that the ocean is so huge that even if you're, even if you're Joe Rogan, there's still lots of people who don't like Joe Rogan or don't listen to Joe Rogan, and you could do another Joe Rogan like thing, and God forbid, but you know, and still get a lot of yours if you did it as well as he does. So I think that's a really important lesson that took me a long time after launching greatdad.com, back when there were just literally a handful of men doing other good podcasts. My first inclination was to say, oh, you guys are bad. But looking back, and I think this is a really good message, is collaboration. Now, finding good collaborators is also a challenge, but being open to that possibility really opens up a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, and it could be tough too, because I came from a really transactional approach in my earlier entrepreneurial career, where it was all about, you hire me to do something, I do it for you, you give me the money, you know, transaction, everything was a transaction. And then when we got into this, and a lot of it, I credit my partner, Pat, who was really, you know, when he hired me to help him, he pretty much gave me free rein. And then as we became friends, then later became business partners, when I was like, you know what, if we're going to do this and I want to go all in, you quit paying me, just we're going to do this together. And he agreed. Right. So, but his approach and the approach of the real, because real estate, first of all, really, I had a real estate license. And when I would go into the office over here, I just went every now and then. I just kept it because I did investing, but they didn't like to talk to each other. They were very secretive. But then when these real estate agents that came on this show, our podcast, they would be like, they all had a specialty, right? Like maybe they were the best at selling, you know, condos on the Gulf Coast in Florida, number one. But they would come and they would open up and they would share everything. And what I started realizing was everybody that comes on our show, first of all, they had to have a certain gross commission, you know, for the previous year. They had to make a certain amount of money. They had to be successful. But what I learned was that they were all super successful and they shared and collaborated and mentored and helped and served.
Yeah.
And the light bulb finally went off, like, hey, you can actually be much more successful when you collaborate and you share your journey and share what you learn and share your expertise to help those that are sort of a few steps behind you. And I think that's where a lot of men that are thinking about shifting maybe their career and following a purpose or a passion, which you can truly do now. And I think, you know, and the science actually proves that you're healthier, happier, live longer, you become more prosperous when you follow your purpose. So they can start thinking now like, hey, I can do this. And there's people just a few steps behind you that need your guidance. They're not looking for the gurus. They're looking for the guide.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that adjective. I mean, I think we hear a lot in the press and on TV that they're, you know, selfish, overworking, really hard-nosed business people are the ones who make all the money. And yeah, maybe at the top of the pyramid, the billionaires are like that. But I think the life that a lot of us want to live, and hopefully more and more of us want to live, is one that doesn't involve as many billions of dollars, but is one of sharing and caring and openness and generosity. Because like you say, those are the values that really lead to more well-being, both physically and mentally.
And think about too, if we're on a dad's podcast, if you are doing those things, right, sharing, collaborating, helping, you're modeling what generally what we want our children to do, right? So that's the thing to me that I remember I went so long and had this false belief around business. If I become successful, I'm going to be a horrible father. Because I was projecting what I grew up with. And then I realized, I was like, I started seeing others that were doing it differently. And I'm like, okay, you don't have to, you know, work yourself to death. You don't have to make it all about this, about business and work, and just, you know, 1 or 2% about fatherhood. You can do both. And I do think that, to me, I'm seeing it in the space. And what's funny is that when you start to, you know, think about, I want to be more collaborative, I want to serve and help others, and you start showing up that way, it's amazing that you start finding yourself surrounded by more people that are like that.
Yeah. And people throw opportunities. I mean, I had a podcast yesterday with a gentleman who was, we were talking about fatherhood, and then he threw an opportunity to me after the podcast, said, join me in this thing, you know, no cost or anything. I want to help you. I want to help our message. And that happens nice. All the time. The more you throw it out there, it's karma or whatever. It does kind of work that way. So let's talk a little bit. Sorry, go ahead.
Real quick, I just wanted to share too, because I think podcasting is a space that is really like that too as well, which is another reason why I think that a lot of people should look at that as a way to either be a guest or to have your own show, because the podcasting space is very giving, very collaborative, very helpful, and it just is a great space to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rare, I think, that we have an opportunity that we're lucky to have in podcasting that you and I can, we met over a service called PodMatch, which kind of puts people together who have similar interests. And we can have a conversation here that's gone into a lot of things that are fairly personal over half an hour that it would be hard to do, you know, walking down the street and just going into a bar and meeting somebody or some other thing in life. Absolutely. It just doesn't happen. These kind of conversations don't happen as easily as they do in podcasts. Let's talk a little bit about your captivity into Servpreneur movement. You've got a website, servpreneurmovement.com, and we'll put that in the show notes because it might be a little bit hard for people to spell. Tell me a little bit about what that involves.
Yeah, well, it's funny, but in that time that I spent, the morning routine, the thinking time, the meditating, and I just started getting these downloads of ways of a system. I call it the Servpreneur Blueprint. It's a way of showing up as an entrepreneur, a way of doing entrepreneurship differently, a way of, because I'm in such a space where I see so many people where it's hustle, grind, right? There's a lot of people that it's like really like a badge of honor for working. I work 24/7 and blah, 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 whatever. And it's all about the external things that they receive. But I've connected with so many people over time that they're more interested in a new way of showing up, a new way, the collaborative way, right? The way of being able to have a purpose and have a business that creates good in the world, right? A business that's a force for good, whether that's as a coach, whether it's starting your own organization, whether it's a B Corp, whatever that looks like. So that's where the Servpreneur Blueprint sort of came to me. And it's a new method, a new system that I'm developing, a way of being a different type of entrepreneur. And I'm cultivating a community of people like that imagine this. A lot of them come through like the podcasts that I go on and the people I've met through podcasting. But I've noticed that so many entrepreneurs are out there and they want to do things a different way. They want to show up as givers. They want to show up as people that serve first. They have a purpose. They have a big positive message and mission. And that's the kind of community I'm creating. Because one thing I have learned as an entrepreneur, and this can be tough for those dads that transition maybe from the 9 to 5, the corporate, to being in a room like I am most of the day alone, is that you need a community. You need support. You need accountability. You need people around, whether that's virtually, which we do a lot of things virtually now with big groups and masterminds, but also in person. So I'm creating that community of other like-minded individuals who will share opportunities with you, like what happened to you on the podcast you were on, that will be there to hold you accountable, that'll be there to support you, that'll be there to collaborate with you. Because I can't tell you how much, ever since I left that previous business and went on my own, my fastest growth and the best experiences has been from collaborating with other entrepreneurs that have some superpowers that I don't, doing things that I don't do. And we just combine our strengths. So for me, that's what the Servpreneur movement's all about, is just cultivating this group of people that want to do things a little differently, that want to create businesses that provide profit for them, provide freedom for them, but also bring their purpose into the world to make it a better place. Because I tell people all the time, that I do this for selfish reasons, because I know if we can make the world better through what we're doing as entrepreneurs, then my daughter, who's in that painting behind us, as she grows up, she's growing into a world that's a better place to live. And for me, that's really the main focus, why I do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when you get to a certain age, that you really are thinking about legacy and what your role is versus just making money. Yeah. And I think that there's really a value in learning some of the skills behind collaboration, because it isn't always just as easy as saying, hey, I'll give you all my assets or all the things that I do, you know, I'll do that just for you and you can do something else. There's an art to it, or it's not an art, but a skill, some skills and some rules and some structure around how you make things equitable and make sure everybody's feeling like they're trusted, respected, and it's two-way street or spread around. Yeah,
definitely. And I think a lot of that's like I've learned through the years and I figured out I've made some bad decisions with people I've worked with and that I've learned a lot from them as well.
I could definitely use that a lot, because I tend to be sometimes overly generous and then I don't get anything back. And then sometimes that feels resentment, which is not a good feeling. But I want to keep on being generous, even though sometimes it doesn't work. So that I'm sure having a group of people who can, you know, validate your generosity while helping you be realistic and practical at the same time, incredible, incredible value.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we have to learn that we have to definitely be ready to receive as well as give, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise your business won't last for long.
Great. Well, this has really been far, far more information and far more valuable information, not just on podcasting, but entrepreneurship than I was even expecting. I wanted to talk to you kind of selfishly about the whole podcasting world and also help dads who are interested in doing this either as a hobby to have these kind of conversations or tie into their business or, you know, their new ventures. So this has been great. You can find Evan at servepreneurmovement.com. Again, I'll put that in the show notes. And you said you also have a texting method if people want, they're out and about and don't want to get to go on a website, but you can text to 33777, just the word serve. And Evan's promises, he won't bombard you with a lot of text, but he'll set you up with the link to the website so you can do that when you get home.
Yeah, definitely. So if they text, if they're US based, they can text serve to 33777 and I won't bombard them. They'll get a reply back that says, shoot us your email. Then we'll automatically shoot you the link to bring you over into the community. You can check it out. But yeah, that's one thing that we once again, a learning experience in the past that, you know, it's nice. It's nice to have the texting option, but, you know, treat people like people, not like data.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. So, but yeah, we won't spam you. We won't bombard you. We won't sell your information. We just want to like have you come over and check out the community and get to know us and we'll grow together.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining me. You can find my coaching services at greatdad.com/coaching. And I also just launched a course on how to find gratitude and the link between gratitude, well-being, and physical well-being that I'm offering to podcast listeners for 50% off the $39 price tag. You can go to greatdad.com/gratitude and use the code podcast50 to get that course for half off. So until next time, BaldPantsAtGreatDad.com. Thank you very much, Evan Putnam.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you.